you can just leave your Bibles open there to the verse of Galatians. Be spending a little bit of time there.
And I'd like to say thank you for another opportunity. I guess since they asked me to do it again, I must not have messed up too bad the first time. So we'll see how it goes tonight. I'd like to speak to you a little bit about spiritual burdens tonight. And I'd like to suggest three different types of burdens that might be seen. There's physical burdens that we go through, such as sickness, disease, injuries, things that happen to everybody. There's also emotional burdens that come from depression, anxiety, loss of loved ones or friends, and maybe financial issues. And then there are spiritual burdens that come from when we sin, and that's what I'd like to focus on tonight. I'd like to go over three different ways that I believe you can deal with burdens, and the first one is to share those burdens. If you read with me again here in verse 1, it says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So over in Romans 3:23, we're familiar with that verse. It tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if we've all sinned, then that means that we all need restoration from that sin. And we are to participate and help one another, give comfort to each other when others sin, and help them to restore themselves. In verse 2, it says, to help bear their burden, fulfilling the law of Christ. And I believe the law of Christ greatly involves loving one another and loving your neighbor as yourself. And that's where the compassion and the spirit of gentleness comes in and comforting the others. Then in verse 3, it gives us a warning there. It says, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Everyone makes mistakes, and that's an obvious thing, but part of that is realizing that we do make mistakes and being able to admit it to ourselves. And one thing that can really get in the way of admitting mistakes is when we have too much pride. We could have enough pride to where we think that we may not have made a mistake, and that's going to hinder us from ever coming to repentance from it. We also might have too much pride and think that we're maybe too good to help somebody else that's sinned, maybe think that we're above them and don't need to help them out. So you really need to push pride away in any of these situations. If you'd like to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and begin in verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 reads, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." So, in addition to sharing burdens with one another, another way we can resolve burden is to bear it ourselves. If you want to go back to Galatians 6 there, we'll begin in verse 4 now. It says, "But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load." We know that we're not going to be doing this alone if others are comforting us, as we are told to do with them in the first couple verses. But in addition to others encouraging us when we have burdens, when we sin, it's still our own responsibility. And so with that, when we make mistakes, we have to bear the consequences on our own. And that starts with accepting the responsibility of those. Brian did a lesson a few weeks ago over playing the blame game, how people don't want to accept the blame for their own problems. And you don't want to admit your own fault and accept your responsibilities. But in Hebrews 4:13, it reads that no creature is hidden from his sight, from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So whether we will admit it or not, God always knows what we do and knows when we make mistakes. But we have the comfort of knowing that we're not the only ones that are going to make those mistakes. If you go back to 1 Peter 5, in verse 6 this time. Again, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So there in verse 9 it says that we know that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced throughout the brotherhood in the entire world. So we know that everybody else is going through the same struggles as us. We also know that Jesus went through the same temptations as all of us, and he went through those without sin. But we have each other to comfort and strengthen each other. And there's also a purpose for the suffering that we go through. If you'd like to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we know that we don't just suffer for the sake of suffering. There's actually a purpose and a benefit to this. If you begin there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort." So, when we go through these sufferings, if we look to Christ in all this, then we can get the comfort we need, and then we gain experience from these events, and we're able to take that experience and teach others as well, so that if they go through the same problems, then they can be comforted by us and know how to get through those. But it says we gain the comfort through Christ. So how do we get that? I think the third way to deal with these burdens is to cast the burdens onto Christ. Some burdens we can share with others and they can help us get through, and some we may be able to cope with on our own. But there are those that we're unable to go through alone. In verse 8 here it says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again." So verse 8, it tells that they were so utterly burdened beyond their strength, they despaired of life itself. And I don't know what kind of situations you could think of that might make you feel that way, but he says that the purpose was to make them rely not on themselves, but on God. So God is always going to be there for us, even when others may fail us, people that we might trust. Everyone's going to make mistakes, and at some point, the people that are there for you might not be there at that time. And that's when we need to always look to God, because God is always there for comfort. In Psalm 55, verse 22, says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." The word it uses there, it says he will sustain you. It doesn't say that God's going to just completely remove your burden and you go to him and he gets rid of it and you don't have any other problems. It says that he will sustain you. And I believe that means that God will support you throughout your burden. And in some cases, it may be over quickly, but sometimes he may just give you the strength to get through it yourself. And you will still get that experience from it. But God's not always going to just immediately fix problems if you ask him to do that. But he will give us the comfort and strength we need to get through those. Another passage we might be well familiar with is in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, beginning verse 28, says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we have those burdens that we're unable to get through with the support of others and our own, that's when we need to go to Jesus. And it tells us that we're able to do that and cast our burdens on him. But to begin that, we have to humble ourselves, completely eliminate pride from the equation, and we have to actually go to him. He's not just going to come help us if we need it, but we have to go to him and ask for that help and seek it out. But all these spiritual burdens that we have, they come from when we sin. And without Jesus coming down and dying on the cross, we wouldn't have the opportunity to have those burdens taken away so easily. He came down on the cross and he died to take away the burden of sin that we have. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul tells us that it's just a light affliction, and it will prepare us for an eternal weight of glory in heaven. The verse reads there, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So if we think about the things we go through on earth, they might seem like really big problems to us, and we might have a hard time coping with a lot of these. But Paul says here that it's just a momentary light affliction, and we're looking to the eternal life we'll have in heaven one day that is more than we would ever deserve for getting through these problems. And all these burdens happen here on earth. So once we get to heaven, we won't have any of these burdens again. So we have a lot to look forward to if we go to Christ and seek encouragement to get through these burdens and sin. When the people at Pentecost asked what they may do, Peter told them in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So if you are still living a life of sin, if you have all these burdens that haven't been taken away, and you'd like to cast your burdens onto Christ and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins, please come forward as together we stand and sing.
Hark, the gentle voice of Jesus falleth down.